Lord, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lord, that you would lead us not into temptation, but that you would deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and it will be forever and ever and ever. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In this next segment of prayer, I'm just going to invite you to spend a bit of time just in prayer around this idea of daily bread, but pray it for your own heart. Pray it for the areas of your heart that you feel as though you've maybe just got some dry crusts left, and you need a fresh infilling of his presence, of the person of Christ, his spirit, his word. Pray it for your own heart, or pray it for a friend, a neighbor, a relative that you know is really struggling right now. Pray it for them. And if you can't think of anybody, pray it for our clergy in Villa and beyond. Pastors all over this nation are so spent and so worn down. Pray it for them. Pray it for healthcare workers. We're going to take about a 3-minute pause, and Chad's just going to lead us a little bit of ambient worship and music, but lean into this thought and prayer. And then we're going to finish up with one more segment. Thank you, Lord.
Service
next week will be a place where we can even gather those that we know, friends, family, co-workers, who also have children that have been struggling or maybe just oblivious, but Lord, they're in the midst of this COVID time as well. And we ask that next week there would be just a beautiful gathering in of families, and the kids would be so encouraged and so ministered to and so strengthened. Lord, we pray that you would bless all of those that are leading us next week and preparing and organizing and just putting all the pieces together. We pray that there would be grace upon them to do that. And we pray that you would deeply minister to our children who have missed out on so much this year, that you would meet them and speak to them and strengthen their hearts in you. Along those lines of mission as well, Father, we ask that you would continue to add to Via Langley, particularly young adults and teens. Father, we recognize that this is an area and this is an age group in particular that you have put a burden on our hearts for. And so, Father, we're asking that you would open an effective door for ministry, a wide open door, as you did for Paul. He speaks about this in Corinthians, the wide open door of effective ministry. Lord, we ask that you would open up a wide door. And we just ask that you would add to us, and there would be an invitation that would go out for young adults to come and be a part of what you're doing here in our midst. We pray that you would gather to us those that are strong in faith that need a home. That are struggling, that may not be strong in faith, but need a place to grow and to be discipled. And we ask as well that you would add to us those that don't even have faith yet, but are on a journey and are seeking you. So Lord, we lift this need up to you, this request, this petition. We say, Lord, in your mercy,
prayer too, we lift up to you the whole of our lives, and as we give to you our tithes throughout this month, and as we bring in this Advent season our gifts, our offerings to you, Lord, we just pray, declaring that yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. All things come from you, O Lord, and of your own have we given to you. Amen. As we can transition here to the word, Alex is going to come and just share a message with us today. Bless you just to hear the word of God. But before we do that, just a couple of quick things. Next Sunday, we'll be together next weekend on the Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, same Zoom link. Come and join us. But we've put together a really creative family service that is designed to engage children. And it will be online. It'll be on Zoom. Encourage you, though, to come and to come ready. I would, if you have kids in your home, I would get as many devices on Zoom as you can so that they can really get involved. But be there. It's going to have games, worship, some videos, and some time of just engaging in the Christmas story and the gospel. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. Encourage you to be there. Encourage you to bring your kids. But I encourage you to think about the families in your life who have children and could just use that right now, who could use a space to engage in the gospel, to just have their kids engaged in some positive, hope-filled time together and some fun. It's going to be actually, I think, a ton of fun. Catherine's got a couple of games that we're going to play together over Zoom. We went and combed through Pinterest and found out what teachers are doing. That was our genius. How our teachers entertain. We've incorporated some of that, and just we're going to have a lot of fun together. And so I encourage you to be there on Sunday. It is a family service, and that means all of us. And so really want to encourage you two big kids to come, to be there, and to be really involved, really engaged. Let's just have some time and celebrate and really honor our kids on that Sunday. And then Christmas Eve on the 24th at 4 o'clock and at 6 o'clock, right on our website, there'll be a live stream Christmas Eve service that we're doing in partnership with Mountain View Alliance here. Really excited about that. Our team will be doing the music, and Gordon, his team, Gordon, will be preaching and bringing some other elements as well. It's going to be, I think, a really good service. And an important thing is you come through Christmas, especially this year, because you won't have to get dressed up and go somewhere. I encourage you to think about taking at 4 or at 6, take the 45 minutes to an hour, and launch that service and invite your kids and your families, your homes, into worship this Christmas. We have to be really intentional about that stuff right now, or it won't happen. Because there's no services to go to, those kinds of things. And so, encourage you to get that synced up and to join us at Christmas Eve. Let's just pray as Alec comes. God, thank you so much on this third Sunday of Advent for the hope that's rising in us as we've waited and we continue to wait. The hunger that's rising in us, the connection that's happening for us with our need for you. Jesus, in the places where we need your healing, where we need your forgiveness, where we need your provision, where we need a physical touch in our bodies, where we need relational harmony to come, relational reconciliation and healing in our families and in our marriages. God, where our communities and our neighborhoods and our neighbors stand in need of you, Lord, all of these places, we continue to pray, Lord, we need you, would you come? May we see the advent of Christ as we saw at Christmas, as we saw in the incarnation. Come and dwell with us. And we pray right now as we come to your word for eyes to see, for ears to hear, for hearts ready to receive your word. Prepare us, Lord, to come to you in the sacrament of the Eucharist. As we feast on your word, prepare our hearts to encounter you in the table. We pray a blessing over Alec. Would you anoint him? Lord, speak your word through him to us tonight, we pray in your name.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to try and muster this with a mic. Let's see how we do here. So our reading, oh boy. See how this goes. We'll get to the reading and then we'll put the I got the Bible verses written down in my book, so we'll be all right. Awesome. So the reading this week is Psalm 126. So let's read that out. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. This has been kind of an important section of scripture for us as a community for the last number of years. And I love how when God gives a community something significant like a piece of scripture to kind of to carry, that scripture still applies season to season to season. And it can apply in different ways, but it can mean something really profound in one season that really is needed in that season, and it can mean something different in another season for us with a different emphasis. And just in this season that we're in right now, with everything being as crazy as it is, this section of scripture applies maybe more now than it ever has. I love how these verses acknowledge the reality of trials and hardship in the context of gratefulness, wonder, and hope. Things that perhaps we could be marked by this Christmas season. In verse 1, it talks about, it says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. And the context, most commentators would agree, is the idea of Israel coming out of this place of captivity and refinding their home in Jerusalem. So the other translations would be, when the Lord has freed or returned the captives of Zion back to their home. It's this idea of those who were lost being brought home. It's a very gospel, real gospel theme there. Those who are in bondage being freed. There's a theme of gratefulness. Looking back, remembering, being like, look what God's done. And then moving through it, when it talks about we were like those who dream, when you dig into it, it's talking about the idea that there had been all these prophetic promises about being freed from exile, being returned home. And these people, the people of God, had held on to those things for so long. They built their lives on them, and they were waiting and year after year after year longing for that. And they stood on those promises through some real hardship. And when they were actually restored, when those promises came to fulfillment, they were completely overwhelmed. It was like a dream. They were like men who dream. The promise had been fulfilled. There are moments of our lives that have been longed for so long that when they happen, they kind of seem surreal. It's kind of like, is this actually happening? Maybe, you know, for those who have children, you know, there's a long pregnancy involved, and sometimes it even, you know, there can be infertility or other things that are, you know, going on. And when that day finally comes, when that child comes, it's just, it's like, is this for real? This is actually happening? It's, you know, you're kind of pinching yourself. In another example would be marriage. There's often, you know, long waiting for that day to happen, and then all of a sudden it happens, and you're like, we can't believe we're here. It's, you wait for so long for something that when you finally arrive, your brain has to transition out of the waiting into the being in that moment. And so that's kind of what it's describing, is a sense of disbelief. Like, we've built our lives around this promise, but now that we're actually here, it's kind of this mind-blowing moment. And just speaks to the amazing kind of the kind of heart encounter that happens. It's not just a physical restoration, but there's a heart restoration that happens. Moving through to verse 2, that our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. I love this. This isn't just a personal, God did something nice for you. Okay, that's great. This is an outward expression that even the nations could see what God had done. It wasn't a secret. God had objectively and publicly brought freedom to his people. There's a real sense, going back to the themes of wonder and gratitude in this. God unashamedly demonstrated his love and commitment to his people. Were they worthy of it? No. But were they worth it? To their father? Absolutely. And he wanted everybody to know that. It was a reflection not of how great they were as a people, but how loving and gracious he was as a father. There's a testimony that comes with every act of God's goodness for both our future selves in times of trial when we need something to remember when things are tough, but also to minister to the world around us. I love that. I love that God does things publicly. He's not trying to do them in secret. I think about even Christ's baptism. This is my son, whom I am well pleased. He's not ashamed of you, despite what you think he might or should be ashamed of you for. Verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. Again, this theme of gratefulness. The statement of gratitude in the midst of trials. It's looking back and saying, man, look what God's done. Look what he's done in our lives. Something that we can do in any season is do that. We live in this already but not yet. We live in the kingdom has come and is coming. So with that, it transitions into verse 4, which seems like a reset in a way because it's restore our fortunes, O God, like the streams in the Negev. And I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that right, but I'm sure I'll hear from somebody one way or the other. But it's, what is it? Is it good? Close it up? Okay. When you look at verse 1 and verse 4, it almost seems like, well, God did this already. And then now we're crying out for God to do this again. So what's that about? And it's that idea of intercession being birthed out of a place of faith, because we've seen what God has done and we can feel the tension of his heart. We can see the brokenness in the world. We can see the brokenness in our own lives. So it pulls us into this place of intercession for him to do it again. Intercession breaks out, but why? We live in the tension of the completed work of Christ not having completed its impact on our world and in our hearts. We like these big epic stories. We love Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and these things, and we really resonate with that. And it's almost like a reverse engineering of the human heart's need for the story of God. And we feel good about those stories because we have it all mapped out. We know the ending. We see the moment of trial in the middle. And the reason why our situation can be difficult is because we're in the middle of God's story. Where we've seen too much of him to let go. We know he's faithful. We know he's going to carry us through. We know this. So we live in that tension of the fact that we're still walking through trials. We have not seen fulfillment, the fullness of everything he's promised us. And we know it's coming. We believe it. We've seen his faithfulness in the past, but we live in that tension. When it talks about the streams in the Negev, of course, I was a little curious about that. So it's kind of referring to the streams in the south, and that would have been known to the people of Israel as a place where these streams have these sudden flash floods. So what it's most commentators would kind of speculate is that what the psalmist is asking for is that the captives be set free, the rest of the Israelites be set free from captivity, that the situation that they're in, God, would you come? And you have done this, he lays out in the first several verses, God, you have done this, we are so grateful. It's in the context of that gratefulness and that 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 acknowledgement of the goodness of God, that history that God has with his people. It speaks to God's character. God, I know this is who you are. This is what you do. We're grateful. And you even showed it to the nations. You're unashamed of us. Would you do it again quickly? There's a sense of now. There's a sense of urgency. And there's, it's funny thinking about this. It's really easy to, not really easy, it's easier to pray for things to come with the idea that they're in the distant future. God, would you give me a really great job someday? Would you give me, would you restore this relationship someday? It's kind of like, oh, I'm praying full of faith that God will do this someday. And it puts it out in that kind of ethereal someday. And we, I think we do this as a way of coping, protecting ourselves, things like that. But there's a theme in here of like, God, would you do this now? And it takes pulling on the faith and the history that we have from God, with God, to ask God to move in the present. And not just push it off as a, God, would you do this someday? Okay, I can believe for that, no problem. We pray for God to come in the now. Todd, Bishop Todd, I remember it was maybe a couple years ago now. I remember him sharing just his heart about, in a sense, living in the future or living in the past, you know, longing for things of the past to happen again, but in the future, and kind of, you know, playing in these two arenas. And I so resonated with that. And just how he said something so profound. It's like the Holy Spirit, God only works now. He acts now. He does what he does now. Will he do amazing things in the future? Yes, when the future is now. But that was so profound for me, and I'm probably butchering what he said exactly, but the idea that it's too, in a sense for me, anyways, I was really convicted by that. I felt like it's too easy to just live in the future. Because it's not developed yet, and I don't have to trust him for anything really concrete in the moment. But to understand that God moves now. God moves in the now. I think that's maybe especially important right now with all this COVID stuff and everything else. It's like, oh yeah, well, someday, oh God, it'll be great when you do this. But of course, we'll have to get through all this first. And, you know, when we're through this, maybe these great things will happen, but moving through to verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed of sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. It's like this great exchange in these verses. And again, there's this temptation to miss the nowness of this. You know, it says, he shall go out. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seeds of sowing, shall come home. So he leaves and then he comes back with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. I don't grow things too often, but that's pretty quick as far as I turn around. There's a sense of immediacy in that. While these verses can be understood to talk about those future things and those future promises of God, which, and I think they hold those, there's something very gospel-centric in the way we can encounter Christ today in these verses. Well, it does have a sense of God's promise for what will be to come It speaks prophetically of the gospel exchange that we live in right now, where when we come with our honesty, with our weeping, when we come with our honesty about our brokenness, our frustration, our anxiety, our disappointment, because of his goodness, there's this exchange that happens. What this means is that our honesty about where we're at isn't just about getting something off our chest. When we confess honestly, I don't mean just because I do this all the time. How's it going? Oh, I'm good. You know, things are okay. Here's a little bit of what's going on. But when we really come clean with God, God, this is tough. When we come with our honesty about where we're actually at, it isn't just about getting something off our chest, but it's like a precious seed to the Father. The seed we lay down, buried in the hands of God, to be resurrected in joy. The seed sown. The world can sympathize with our sorrow and our loss and our pain, but our Father produces life from it. This stuff matters to him. What's actually going on matters inside of us. It matters to him, and he uses it. It's one thing that has been a game changer for, I think, many of us, but speaking for myself, in learning about kind of healing journeys and things like that, as we've kind of been a part of V over the years, is the incredible value on stories and on journeys and even just even traumas, things like that. These things aren't just cut away and thrown away. These things aren't just reduced to bad events that we just need to get rid of in our past, or bad feelings, we just need to get over things. These things are seen as valuable. They're seen as really precious to God, that we could honestly bring those things and he would actually meet those things. And how you feel and how I feel and how, say, COVID is making us feel, or where we feel like, you know, we've been either robbed of things, whether it's birthday parties or closeness with each other, being able to see family members, we can actually bring those things to him. I think this section of scripture, you know, there's this longing on the tail end of it. And I think prophetically, the psalmist is actually, without knowing it, maybe referring to the coming of Christ. It's just this waiting, this advent, this sense of longing for something. And maybe there's an immediate need here in mind, but we can all relate to this space. And the nation of Israel, especially in this place, have been longing for other promises, longing for the coming of a king that would free them. Maybe not in the way they thought, but one that had all this prophetic promise around it. And I think maybe in this season, in the way that we are having to wait, in the different way that we are having to approach Christmas and even being together as a church, things like that, maybe we can relate to that in a new way this year, as much as I don't love it, to be honest. It's been a tough year for all of us in different ways. there's not really a good way to kind of capture how this last year has affected us individually. It's all been very different, even us corporately. But in the midst of all that, God's done what he does. Nothing's really slowed him down. Things that would be seemingly impossible were, of course, the things that God decided, well, I'm gonna go there with that. We're going to grow a church during a pandemic, a church that meets in a living room. We're going to put them in a church building during a pandemic. He's grown our community. He's connected us more deeply with the community of Willoughby. We're in a season of being completely disconnected. For some reason, there's all this divine connection happening. I mean, it's a great way to know that, you know, it's very affirming to when God's just doing impossible things that, oh, I guess we're going in the right direction. There's not really any second guessing that anymore if it was happening. But he's also moved in our personal lives in this season. Our kids, they homeschool half-time. They go to school 2 days a week, part of a homeschool program. And that got cut back because they meet in a church. It meant that they had to cut back to 1 day a week and then split the school up into little cohorts and stuff like that. And so by all accounts, that would be not the most ideal circumstance for kids to stay on track with schooling. One of the biggest concerns was, you know, kids are missing all the school, what's going to happen? In the last, well, since September, essentially, we've seen our kids excel in schooling more than they ever have. We've seen massive breakthrough for some of our kids who have struggled in some areas to the point where they're talking to their teachers online and demonstrating their growth in certain subjects, and it's bringing their non-Christian teacher to tears because she can't understand how there's been so much progress when everybody else is fighting just to keep up. I got a 4-year-old who can almost read. It's so, by all accounts, this shouldn't be happening. I came within a matter of weeks of losing my job. And I should have probably. Don't tell anybody. But I'm trying really hard now not to work 50-hour weeks because we are so crazy busy. The stuff just keeps rolling through the door. We can't keep up. We're trying to figure out, we're talking about, man, how do we pull the trigger? Do we hire more people? Like, that's not a problem that most construction management companies are having right now. We have seen him move in this season. We have much to be grateful for. There has been a sense of wonder that should spur hope in us. And yet, there is no question that this season has had a deep and profound impact on each of us personally. There is no question that there hasn't been a sense of weariness and loss and fatigue, disconnect in different ways, some more for others. We need to avoid, I feel, just trying to find the silver lining in all this. Oh, thank goodness for technology, you know. I feel just as connected as always. You know, you hear that kind of stuff. You hear, oh, traffic's so much better these days. Trying to just drum up this sense of rallying, this emotional rattling, oh, we're just going to push through and everything's going to be fine, and it's not that bad. The key to that exchange of sowing tears is not that you're just making up bad feelings, it's the fact that you're being honest. You're willing to come to the table honestly. So in closing, I would just challenge us that in this Christmas season, let us come in so honestly in this season and receive the promise of hope and wonder with a grateful heart. Chad, if you want to come up, let's... God, we just, we thank you that it's Christmas. We thank you that we can celebrate the incarnation. We thank you that no matter what restrictions are in place or what we feel like we're losing this season, it doesn't change what this season is. God, we come with our weariness in this season. We come with our fatigue and our tiredness and our anxiety and our feelings of aloneness in this season. In the same way that Israel would have waited for you, God, we wait for you to come now. We are full of hope and wonder and gratefulness for what you have done. But God, we know that the work is not done yet. We know we live in that tension. God, so in the areas of our heart that we're lacking, we feel confused and really shaken by this last season, God, and we just feel like we're just trying to hold on, and maybe we're hoping that if we could just have Christmas as we expect it, God, that we'd be fine, we'd make it through, God, and now we're not sure. God, we ask for you to restore us. Restore us to hope and wonder in the areas that we need it, God. God, we thank you for the miraculous and impossible things that you have done in this season. God, we wait on you patiently, expecting you to move now. We believe in the nowness of your provision, of your grace, of your mercy, God.
We worship you, Lord. We worship.
Sacrament is that it is the invisible grace, the very real and true presence of God to us, made visible, made now. And so as we prepare our hearts and our lives to come to the table, as we declare the words of this song, I encourage you and I pray over each of us right now that the Lord would bring us present. That he would pour out the grace of presence upon us. Certainly of his presence with us. But I pray right now that we would be present to him in the present. yes, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh,